All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you to dig a little deeper into the book of Deuteronomy. This week, we're going to finish up chapter 11, looking at verses 18 to 32, as we especially see what it means for us to lay up the words of God upon our hearts and our lives. So let's get right into the text so that we can lay these words upon our heart and wrestle with everything that is around us. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 18. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates, to the western sea. No one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he has promised you. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, to go after other gods that you have not known. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not beyond the Jordan, west of the road, toward the going down of the sun, in the land of the Canaanites, who live in the Arabah opposite Gilgal, beside the Oak of Moreh? For you are to cross over the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And when you possess it and live in it, you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the rules that I am setting before you today. All right, there is our text for this week. These first few verses are known to us because Jesus speaks about them in the Gospels, giving them, but also saying, okay, the Pharisees took them a little too far. Yes, you are to lay up these words on your heart and on your soul. And in the ways to do this, and a way to keep the word of God in front of you, is bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. That you had the boxes of scriptures that were worn as bracelets at one point, and then you would have them also as basically like glasses frames for the frontlets of your eyes, so that you always had the Word of God with you. This is especially important because you were living in a very illiterate society where there is not a whole lot of written down. So these would have very specific verses that would be in these. And we've talked about that earlier in our study of Deuteronomy when this was brought up previously. But you have, again, the teaching them to your children in all the stations of life. Whether you're sitting in the house, you're walking by the way, you lie down, you rise up, your day is to be hemmed in by the Word of God. And so also, you have them written on the doorposts and even the walls of your house, which is where this is truly the only ornamentation that is allowed in Islamic mosques, is that it is only quotations of the Quran that are able to be used as, decoration. So also, that's where they get this idea, is that this is supposed to be where these important messages are. So I have outside my office here in our conference room, Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, up on the wall in stencil. I didn't put it there, but it's there to remind everyone of this very thing, that the word of God is the light to our path. And so he says, if you do all these things that I have commanded you, and he labels it as the commandment. There's only one, loving the Lord your God, and you do that by walking in his ways and holding fast to him. You know, those three things are all one. He says, I will bless you and I will drive out the nations that are stronger and mightier and more numerous than you are, as he has promised. And then we have this great blessing that we realize was never fully realized in Israel's history. Verse 24, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates, to the western sea. When we look at even maps of the glory days, the golden age of the kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon, it's still not all of that. Yes, you get the wilderness up to Lebanon, but you get from a little past the Jordan River, you get what was given up by Og and Bashan in the Transjordan area. But that's it. You don't go all the way out to the Euphrates, which would be modern-day Iraq, as part of the Israelite heritage. They never fully realized that portion of it. As we see at the end of Joshua, they got complacent with where they were and what they had. So they could have had possibly even double the amount of territory, which can get into issues, especially as we think of the Christians who are wanting to bring the kingdom of Israel back and finally have them realize this. It's like, yeah, okay, they have enough problems with Lebanon and with Jordan and with Egypt, much less trying to get them to say, okay, yeah, we're going to take over Iran and Iraq as well. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But this is what God had promised them. This is what the great fulfillment of the blessing is, but it's also showing how far short we human beings come to accepting what God has promised us. So we have here an area, as Dr. McGee talks about in his, that was roughly 300,000 square miles. He estimates they really only had a tenth of that, about 30,000 square miles. And his numbers, I'm not sure where all he got that from and exactly what positions he's using for boundaries north and south. But again, they had very little of what they were offered by God. All right, so he says, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. This was going to happen and will happen once we get into Joshua. But later on in Deuteronomy, you will have them actually spelled out. The blessings and the curses that are to be given on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. So we'll talk about the placement of those two in a minute, but on the one side, you had the blessings on Mount Gerizim, the curses on Mount Ebal, but all of these things are going to happen to those. But we have here, again, not everything goes quite as it's expected to. But we have that great moment where we have the blessings and the curses read out by Joshua. Starting off with even the things that were there in Genesis 48 as Jacob blesses all of his sons. And yes, a couple of them kind of their backhanded blessings because things aren't going to go well for them. But this is that fulfillment when they come back into the land. And it's not always the way we think of it either. As we look to that blessing of the tribes in Egypt by Jacob. Genesis 48, verses 13 and 14, as well as 17 through 19. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "No, not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He shall also become a people, and he shall also be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall be a multitude of nations." Here we have again a reproduction of the previous generation where the younger gets the greater blessing. I mean, this was Jacob's MO in the first place. This is why he had to leave and flee from Esau, is because he had taken the blessing of the firstborn, even though he is the younger one. So also now, Ephraim, the younger son of Joseph, would outshine his older brother Manasseh. And that's exactly what happens. Yes, Manasseh gets actually split, as we have seen, with half the tribe on the east side of the Jordan, half the tribe on the west side of the Jordan. But when we come down to the splitting of the kingdom itself, a lot of times, yes, it is referred to as Israel. Many times in the prophets, it is referred to as Ephraim. He is the one who becomes basically the head of the tribes of the northern kingdom. So we have this great thing. And we finish up with the couple of verses talking about the location of Gerizim and Ebal, that they are beyond the Jordan, west of the road, toward the going down of the sun. You aren't going to do it here. You're not going to do it now. This is in the future. You're going to get to these mountains, and you're going to see that the promise has been fulfilled. And you're going to receive the blessings that are there if you are careful to do all the statutes and the rules that I am setting before you today. And that is what causes us some pause, is that we need to make sure that we are following after the way that God has set out for us in the Word, which is why we have the Word out in front of us, which is why we have podcasts like this to dig deeper into the scriptures. And there are plenty of other podcasts, some of them, many of them probably better than mine, but we have the blessing of this, that we can go and we can look at what God is doing in the lives of his people in Deuteronomy, you know, before they go into the promised land. Even today, the promise still stands that if we are careful to do the statutes and the rules that he has commanded us, blessings will come our way. And yet when we fail, which we will, he has also promised blessing. The blessing of a willing ear to hear our penitence and to forgive us of our failings. And that's what causes us, that's what strengthens us, to wrestle with the theology around us, to wrestle with the idea that, no, we have to do all these things and this will happen. That's the law. We have to wrestle with the gospel that God freely forgives when we fail. And which is great, because we enjoy that, because we want that for ourselves. But the wrestling comes in when we have to forgive others, where we have to give that forgiveness to others. That we don't want to, because we want them to earn it. But again, that's what the Pharisees took this to be, is that we're being more pious, we're being more holy by doing all these things and doing them better than everyone else. That's not the point. The point is to simply and humbly be faithful. And that's where our wrestling truly, that's the mat that we wrestle on, is humility. The wanting to have all these things, wanting to have the blessings, but understanding that we don't deserve them. Understanding that they are free gifts. Gifts that help us to wrestle with the theology around us today and always. Amen.